This is the LA Local Evening Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back each weekday afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Archer. Another earthquake hitting Southern California. That's got people asking just how much closer we are to the big one. But first, all eyes were on Paris. Now it's time to look at LA for LA 28. Mayor Bass arriving back at LAX today with the Olympic flag, athletes, and some brand new ideas. Emily Valdez was there.
Mayor Bass brought the Olympic flag back home with her on a LA 28 Delta flight, landed at LAX, departed the plane waving the flag.
I went to some of the surrounding cities and I saw the way they created festivals and a way for everyone to get involved. And to me, that's one of the golden things. The other thing is the fact that Paris committed to 25% of the business going to small businesses. So looking at how LA 28 can benefit our local economy.
Amit Elor won a gold medal for women's wrestling in her weight category.
So this year, women's wrestling earned 2 Olympic gold medals, which is very historic for women's wrestling, because in the history of women's wrestling, we've only had 2 Olympic gold medals for the United States. And within 2 days, we doubled it. Now we have 4 Olympic champions in our history.
Now prepping for 2028. This will be just the third time the Olympics have been held in L.A., the last time, 1984. At LAX, I'm Emily Valdez, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
A 4.4 earthquake centered near El Sereno, near Highland Park, was felt all over Southern California this afternoon. The good news, though, no reports of any major damage or injuries. 2 big features of this one: it was noisy, and it felt like it was a lot stronger than that 4.4. We get calls from people in Brea, Burbank, and Sean in Highland Park.
It was probably the strongest jolt since the Northridge. It sounded like a freight train just coming down at first the street, and then there was nowhere for me to get under. And then I looked at the carport and it was shaking, and it was like for maybe 15 seconds it was about that long, and it was strong.
The shaking was just pretty violent and hard. You know, it made a lot of noise. And the last time I called you guys, it was a 5.2. This time it felt like it shook a lot harder, which was unusual that it was reported by Lucy Jones as a 4.4.
I heard the noise first, and then shortly after, it just had this sound, and it just started to, like, make, like, a rolling sound, and it kept going and going. Seemed like it went longer than the last one we had.
It shook up Pasadena City Hall and caused some minor damage there. Karen Adams reports.
When the shaking started here at Pasadena City Hall, workers got out.
We have started our routine, so we know to exit the residents that are in the office out, and then I go through all the offices and make sure none of the staff is in our office.
And then I understand one person was trapped in the elevator.
It was a young lady. I think her name was Debbie, was trapped. But our firemen, you know, they did this before, so they got her out safely and she was fine.
A pipe burst here, sending water gushing out of the building. Pasadena's Lisa Durdarian says other than that, all's good.
We did do a complete retrofit several years back, so it is on base isolator on rollers. So it does meet standards. We have our central library that's been shut down for a while now because it does not meet earthquake standards. And this is the very reason why. And so that's a priority for the city to be able to retrofit, update the central library.
Right.
You know, we have the Rose Bowl, beautiful historic building. They did not report any damage, but out of precaution, they will have an engineer go out and inspect that, because sometimes you see things that are not apparent to the eye until you dig a little bit deeper.
She cautions with these recent quakes, people should prepare for aftershocks. In Pasadena, I'm Karen Adams, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Every time you have a little bit of a shaker like that, a lot of people start asking the question, how much closer are we to the big one? It's a question we asked USC expert Yehuda Ben-Zion, who heads up the California Earthquake Center.
No reason for alarm. Those earthquakes indeed shook wide areas and rattled many people, but they are not signifying by themselves that there is an accelerated activity that will lead to a big event.
He tells us it is crucial that the state keeps up the pace of quake retrofitting. LA County reporting some progress in getting Skid Row residents in housing. Officials say nearly 2,000 people have been moved into interim housing. Just about another 1,000 found permanent housing as a result of a state grant. The county got $60 million from the Governor's Encampment Resolution Fund last year. That money also helped some 8,000 people get into outreach or health services cases in the first year. A man serving a life sentence for murder being held in restricted housing, accused of stabbing a corrections officer in the head. He was seen leaving his housing at the California Institute for Men Sunday night. When guards tried to stop him, he kept going, yelling he was going to kill anyone in the yard. He pulled out a homemade weapon, ran toward a line of guards, and stabbed one of them. That officer taken to the hospital, treated, and released. The prisoner has been behind bars since 1988 for a murder in L.A. County. A man has been charged with attempted murder in an attack on a woman at a metro station in Pasadena. L.A. County D.A. George Gascon announcing the charges against Juan Flores. He's accused of physically assaulting her, throwing her onto the train tracks and then into oncoming traffic on the 210 last Wednesday. He's facing a maximum of life in prison. Bail's been set at $2 million. A gondola gets a win in court. Judge rejected a lawsuit from people opposed to the proposed gondola from Union Station to Dodger Stadium. They're opposed because they say the project not gotten enough of an environmental review. Supporters of an aerial tram say it's going to provide the first permanent mass transit connection linking the stadium with the LA transit system, scheduled to be completed before the 2028 games. Some bad news for UCLA gymnast Jordan Chiles and the ongoing saga over a bronze medal. Today, also the first day of school for LAUSD. That's all coming up as Nonstop News at 5 continues. But right now, Mayor Karen Bass and Olympic organizers saying they want the 2028 LA Games to be car-free. But how realistic is that goal? Eli Lippman is executive director of nonprofit public transit advocacy group Move LA. He says he is cautiously optimistic that a car-free Olympics can be done and tells us that LA already has a great head start.
That space between Expo Park and LA Live, which is going to have the highest concentration of Olympic events of any host city that we've ever seen between those two venues. And already you have a dedicated bus lane, a grade separated bike lane. You have the J line, which is bus rapid transit. And you have the E line and the A line, or rail lines that go past those venues. And so it is a high concentration of transit already. What we're hopeful to see is more buses, more opportunities to walk and bike between those venues so that you can go and see the diving and you can go and see the ping pong event without having to jump in your car, try and find parking again, and get to the other event and most likely be late because of the traffic and the expense.
He says the priority over the next 4 years needs to be finishing up the metro expansion projects.
We need to be focused on finishing those major projects, not only to serve Angelinos now, but for these major events, but also for a legacy going forward. You know, yeah, we've been working on these projects for 15 years, and LA voters, if you remember, passed those measures in 2008 and 2016, Measure R and Measure M. So we are funding these projects that are our legacy projects that we get to use far beyond the Olympics, but they should be ready to be used for the Olympics. So the projects we're constructing right now, let's get those done. And I'm optimistic that we're on track to get those big projects done. Then we really just need to expand our bike systems and networks. That means more bike shares, more scooters, more of these ride share opportunities, but also have some more buses available, just like we did with the 1984 Olympics.
And he talks about also how much public transit has grown here since 1984.
The big difference now is in 1984, we had no rail lines at all, no subway, no light rail. Now we not only have subway systems that are open, but we actually have the longest light rail line in the entire world. And so I think it's an opportunity for us to reframe who we are as Angelinos to the rest of the world. Not as this traffic clogged region, but as a place that has really world-class transportation. And my goal and what I'd love to see is that when the world comes to Los Angeles for the Olympics, that they give us the gold medal for a world-class transportation system.
And granted, that system has been expanded since 1984, but overall, road traffic's also increased a lot in the L.A. Metro. Last year, the average driver in L.A. lost 89 hours to congestion. Team USA gymnast Jordan Chiles got some bad news in her bid to keep her bronze medal. The Court of Arbitration for Sport says its hands are tied, no matter what any new evidence might show. Team USA says says it will keep fighting, though, including taking it to the Swiss Federal Tribunal, and that's the highest court there. Childs initially came in fifth place in the floor competition, but one of the judges assessed the difficulty of the routine incorrectly, so Team USA challenged. She was awarded the bronze. It was later determined, though, that the USA team made the challenge 4 seconds too late. That forced her to return the medal. One of the official logos for the 2028 Games in L.A. going to honor the legacy of the late Kobe Bryant. That announcement today made by his widow, Vanessa Bryant, in a video posted on social media included the voice of Kobe himself.
When Kobe was approached to support the effort to bring the Games to L.A., he responded with an immediate yes. Kobe was an important advocate in bringing the Games to Los Angeles.
There's so many icons that come from the city of Los Angeles that live in the city of Los Angeles in so many different fields that it makes complete sense to host the Olympics here because there's so many things that you can do with the Olympic Games to even elevate it to a higher level.
Kobe wanted the Games to come to LA because of his passion for the city, all the love Angelinos have shown for our family, and all our fond memories here.
A new logo features Kobe's signature Black Mamba sign. There are currently more than 50 different logos for the LA Olympic Games, each symbolizing a different part of the life and history of Los Angeles. Well, today was the first day of school for LAUSD, and school officials feeling like they finally have some momentum on their side when it comes to dealing with the aftermath of the COVID pandemic. We talked with LAUSD School Board President Jackie Goldberg. She says that overcoming learning loss, attendance issues, and mental health challenges that COVID brought was always going to be a marathon and not a sprint.
We looked at the last 3 years as a part of the program because that's when we came back to school. And we began to say that, you know, as always, we're committed to addressing and meeting student and family needs first. So our first year, 2 years ago, was about laying the foundation, collecting data, developing systems. The second year, last year, accelerating towards success to make sure we're beginning to make up lost time from the COVID closures. And this year, we intend to shatter the status quo, defy expectations, and even go beyond the limits because we plan to go beyond where we were in 2019 in academic outcomes.
And Goldberg says they got good reason for their optimism.
Last year was really a good year for us. Almost every grade level and almost every student demographic area improved over the previous years. And the priority schools, you know, the fragile 100 schools, their gains were bigger than everybody else's. Our graduation rate, we think, was about 86%. We contacted about 34,000 homes by knocking on doors to get people to come back. Our FAFSA submission was over 80%, exceeding all other large urban districts in the country. And most importantly, we've expanded access to critical physical and mental health services.
An area that the LAUSD is still working on, though, is improvements is the emotional and mental health recovery from the pandemic.
We're still working on the emotional impact. That will take longer. That just takes a long time. Even all the adults are affected. I mean, I don't know a single teacher or administrator who hasn't been affected by all of this. So we're all dealing with it. But where I was this morning was a demonstration of the idea of how to do mental health in a classroom. And we learned a great deal about ways to help everyone know that it's safe, know that it shouldn't be embarrassing. Notice that you shouldn't be ashamed to say that you're feeling bad, that you're feeling down. Well, we're fighting that. And I think we're going to make some more progress in that area as well this year.
And Goldberg notes the one group of LAUSD students still struggling are those with disabilities. She says disabled students in the district will be the focus of some extra attention and resources this year.